Romans chapter number 10. In the book of Romans chapter number 10, Romans is clearly a Gentile book written to the Gentile church at Rome. Paul is preaching to them and teaching them that God was not done with the children of Israel. There are those that might try to say that there are several chapters here in the book of Romans, and that's known as hyperdispensationalism. They say it's just to the Jew. It's just to Israel because he was specifically speaking about God, you know, dealing with them. And that's not so. Paul gives us a great excerpt of what salvation truly is. And his heart in verse number 1, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Above everything, that they might be saved. Now, I believe his heart's desire and prayer also was that Gentiles would be saved. Many Gentiles would be saved. And so he begins presenting his burden, a genuine burden of his heart's desire, the prayer that he prayed concerning his brethren, the children of Israel, to be saved. He's talking about salvation. And then he begins to tell how that, in verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. Now, what does it mean to believe? We've got to nail that down, what he's talking about, to believe. Because in salvation, there are two parts. There is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There are those today that would say, and this is among Baptists, that repentance is not needed. It's just faith. That the two are similar, or they're one in the same, and they're not. Repentance and faith are not one in the same. They are like law and grace. They go together, but they go in two different directions. They're both there, and they're both proving two different things. And so there's many things said from pulpits around the world concerning salvation. Salvation. Now you think about this. This is talking about the eternal soul of man and woman. It going to heaven or hell. How to go to heaven and miss hell. I mean, you don't want to be wrong on this doctrine. So we should be like the Bereans. Anytime we hear salvation, we should listen very closely. And, with Bible scrutiny, everything that I say or any other man says needs to be gauged against what thus saith the Lord. What this book says. Now, there are those that are really winning souls to the Lord. Quotation mark. in our day and time, and they do something called repeat a prayer. They have sinners repeat a prayer. I'm going to ask you something. And they believe that it has to be prayed. Let me ask you something. Is our salvation in what we pray? Is it in a repeated prayer? It's not. It's not. A prayer, I believe, will come, but your salvation is not tied up in something that you repeat from somebody else. The Bible tells us, and I want us to look real closely here in Romans chapter number 10, because he tells us that, and he starts it in verse number 8. He said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee." This is the word of faith he's talking about. The word of faith. Now, he talked about in verse 4, everyone that believeth. Believing and faith. Believing in the right thing and faith can be the same. But look what he said. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This is the word of salvation. This is the heart strings of man coming to the knowledge of God's word. And it's going to tell us what true Bible salvation consists of. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now you can't just stop right there, because there's no repentance in that verse. This verse is talking about our faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. If thou shalt confess, and we're confessing this belief that I believe the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, and shalt believe in thine heart, not just the head, but the heart, that God, I mean, you're convinced. You are absolutely convinced. Do you remember the eunuch over there that was coming down out there in the desert, and Philip was sent to him, and he was reading Isaiah 53? No doubt he would have loved to have believed who that was. And Philip asked him, "Understandest what thou?" He said, "How can I, except some man show me?" And he started with the same verse and preached unto him Jesus. And he got down the road and he saw water. And baptism's not salvation. But he knew it was an outward show. He had no doubt been told by Philip. He said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Here's what Philip said: "If thou believest..." Do you believe what I just told you about Jesus? Do you believe? "If thou believest, thou may." He said, "I believe. I believe." He believed with all of his heart. That's faith. Believing. Believing what God has said about his Son. You have a change of mind. A change of heart. I mean, you really, listen, little kids, they grow up believing.
to an extent. But there's something happens when real faith grabs hold of you. And you realize this ain't Mary Poppins we're talking about. This is the Son of God. This is God in the flesh. A real person that came, suffered, and died for me. Rose again the third day. I believe. I believe. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Faith produces righteousness in our life. It's faith. It's not our works. It's not our works. Faith produces a righteousness that God imputes. And that faith, listen, it's not of you. You don't have faith. You don't have saving faith. I don't have saving faith. I know the Bible says that God give to every man a measure of faith. But listen to what God said in His Word. He said this. He said that faith cometh by hearing. Right here in Romans 10. Faith cometh by hearing. I didn't have it till I heard it. I had to hear it before I had it. Faith cometh by hearing. Amen. Now listen, he also said that you are saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. That means the faith and the grace is not of me. I don't have it. For you are saved by grace through faith. And that faith and that grace, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not something you had. God gives it to you. I know that that scares some people. Oh, it almost, sounds like predestination. Well, it may be pretty close to it. In the Bible way, you and I were helpless sinners. Are you listening to me? And God gave us grace. And God gave us faith. When we heard, faith came. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So, what is salvation? Salvation is faith in Christ, believing. A faith that you and I do not have. We received it of God. It's not of ourselves. Genuine faith produces obedience to the gospel. Look at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, that's Isaiah, Lord, who hath believed our report? Because nobody is obeying you. That's what he was saying. Who hath believed? Real Bible faith produces an obedience. An obedience to the gospel. And listen, the obedience afterward is not essential for our salvation, but the faith is. And the grace is. The repentance is. Faith and repentance. Those two things are essential for your salvation and my salvation. The Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? Repentance toward God. That means I see myself as God sees me. Guilty. A sinner. And I repent toward God. And I put faith toward my Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He's the answer for my sin. Repentance toward God. You and I have to agree with God that we are guilty. Listen, you can't just believe on the Lord. They'll say, just believe. If you'll just believe, if you'll just do that, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God raised from death, thou shalt be saved. No repentance. That's a lie. You can believe all day long until you agree that you are a sinner and you have sinned. Paul went through Romans proving, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Proving that everybody was a sinner. That we don't have righteousness that we can give to God. Not even in the law. We don't have anything. That's what was the problem with the Israelites. They wanted to present the father Abraham. We have our father Abraham. We have a promise. We've been already righteous. Listen, blessed is the man in whom God will not impute sin. But it is not by the keeping of the law. It's not by works of righteousness, the Bible said, which we have done. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. But according to His mercy. That's His grace. His mercy. He saved us. Now He tells us even how the salvation. We know the avenue of salvation, repentance and faith. But He even tells us spiritually what takes place. We are washed in His blood. So look at this. Genuine faith produces obedience. Look back in verse 14. Let's go backward from 16 to 14. Faith received brings us to call on Him. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? The calling happens because the believing happened. God gave us faith. He helped us to believe. And we believed on Him, and that's when we called on Him. That's how we called. Why would you call on a man you don't believe in? Real salvation, you must have believed He was the Savior if you really called on Him. Let me give you a carnal illustration. Two men standing on the edge of a high boat. I mean, the wall is 30, 40 foot high. One's on this side, one's on that side. One guy's got a 2-foot rope he's holding on to. The other one's got a 65-foot rope, and they one of them wheels tied at the end of it. Who are you going to call on? I'm not calling on the guy that's going to throw off a 2-foot rope. What's that 2-foot rope going to do me any good? But when I see who it is that can save me, that's the one I'm going to call on. When I realized and when you realized that Jesus was the only way, that's when you called. How can they call? How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I mean, boy, it really breaks it down. The preaching of the gospel, that's what God sent our way. He sent us his message, sent us his word. Verse 13, look what it says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That don't happen just in itself. Again, without repentance. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 21, here's what he said to them, and this is the verse I was telling you a little while ago, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He testified both to the Jews and also the Greeks. Jews and Gentiles. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus began his ministry in Matthew 4, he said, the first thing he said was, repent. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Both are necessary. Repentance is belief about yourself that changes. And faith is belief about Christ that changes. When that's why we believe. I mean, listen, the Bible's full of, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Why? When you really repent, you see how sinful you were. Repentance makes a man turn. Real Bible repentance causes man to turn. And real Bible faith changes the way a man believes about Christ. Listen, he's not just baby Jesus anymore. He's Lord. He's Lord. I think a lot of times, Brother Mike, some people grab hold of it maybe more. There's some people, they may have it in a simple understanding. And they do know that they can't be the same way as they used to be. There's things they know they need to turn from. They need to tell God they're sorry about. And that they have faith. They see Jesus in a different way. But then there are some that really latch hold of Bible repentance and faith. Listen, Jesus himself even said this. He said, to whom much is forgiven, that one loveth much. There are some people are willing to do more for Christ as far as turning from self and turning from the world. Why? Because they were forgiven of much. We should our salvation by faith, listen, and it comes again. Our salvation is from two things, repentance and faith. It's not in Listen, in the mountains, we believe you've got to come up shouting to really be saved. That's why some people believe. Listen, that ain't in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say a thing about you coming up from the altar shouting. It talks about repenting, and it talks about believing. It talks about your change of heart toward yourself and God, and the change in your heart and mind toward your faith in Christ. That's what brings Bible salvation. Not whether I screamed in prayer. Not whether I jumped up and hollered. Not whether I had somebody, say a prayer and get me to repeat that prayer. A preacher friend of mine was talking about a man that went to this church, and they were real big of that sinner's prayer, getting people to pray the sinner's prayer, and then, telling them they were saved. And this fella come through, and preacher said something to him about his need of being saved. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I got that settled a week ago in my home." He said, "The Lord saved me." And he said, "Really? Well, that's good news. Well, let's come over here and pray the sinner's prayer and just make sure about that thing." A sinner's prayer ain't going to make sure that you're saved. It ain't going to add to your salvation. I agree with that statement 100%. Amen. If anything, it might confuse the man. I could understand trying to help somebody understand the Bible, because a lot of people are confused about salvation. We you got to feel something, and some people you'll see lights, and I mean, there's all kinds of things. A lot of people have different emotional experiences when they're saved. Some people, it's just a very simple belief. And in their heart, they have turned. And they prayed. Maybe a whispered prayer. "God, I mean, in a minute, God, I'm a sinner and I have sinned. Forgive me. And I believe." I don't know how, but somehow in their prayer, they got those two things settled and they got saved. And their life was changed. I've seen people come and waller all over the altar. And I'm from the mountain. I like to see tears. Broken and a contrite heart, the Bible says, "Oh God, thou wilt not despise." People need to be, it'd be good to get some broken hearts sometimes. But these two things right here is what produces salvation. We said it a long time ago, sometimes people, they confuse people in salvation through this easy believism. Just believe. Do you believe? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Well, you're saved. No, they're not. They still ain't repented. Do they believe they're a sinner? Are they ready to tell God they're sorry? Are they willing in their heart to turn? To ask Christ for a change? And mean it. Amen. But it's the work of God's grace. Because I can't change enough for him. And that brings salvation in my life. He does a change in me, and he does a change in you. He's the one. God of heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior above, He's the one that brings salvation. You look at them people in the Bible that their life got changed. Listen, blind man couldn't open his own eyes. Christ had to open his eyes. The woman caught in adultery, if Jesus didn't do something in here, listen. Now, he told her, he said, don't you go do this no more. See, I mean, our flesh is still our flesh. It'll still tempt us. But she had help. You don't ever read about her going back to that lifestyle again. She had help from the Lord. Changed. Just like the woman that had the issue of blood. She couldn't heal herself. But Christ healed her. And she was changed. Changed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all, verse 12 in Hebrew or Romans 10, same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. No difference. There's a real call. How can they call on somebody they've not believed? How can they believe without they've heard? So real faith comes from God, and it produces a call. Listen, God calls to us before we ever call to Him. It's a call. When He opens our eyes, listen, that's a call. He's not saving us regardless of what we think about it. We have a choice in the matter. It's like the woman Jezebel, God said, He gave her space to repent. She could have repented. She chose not to. And that's how salvation is. We can repent, or we can choose not to. And we can believe. It's not of us. God, listen, the eyes of your understanding, the Bible said, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Listen, we can't see. We're in darkness. Until He reveals faith to us, but then the choice is ours to be made. God don't make people get saved. But the faith and the repentance is not of us. I don't have that in me. Man is a sinner. He's in rebellion. He's at enmity with God. It's not in a sinner apart from God calling him to just walk up and say, hey God, I think I'll tell you I'm sorry now. It's not in man. It's not in him. He's not going to do it. We're not paying for salvation. It's already paid for. Well, there's a lot more could be said about repentance and faith, grace, we don't have all the time we'd like to have tonight. Maybe the Lord will let us come over some of that again. Bible salvation. Listen, I got relief the day I realized I didn't have, and this is true, that I didn't have to come up from praying with a big shout like a lot of other people I'd seen. When I realized my salvation wasn't determined on whether or not I shouted, well, you talk about peace. Because I didn't come up shouting. But I did come up believing. And I did come up a repentant heart. Christ did a work of grace in my life and in your life. Amen. What a wonderful salvation that we have. He's paid it all. He's paid it all.